Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. That movie you saw last week seemed really long. It was. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is July 17th, 2013. I'm glad you're here for today and hopefully tomorrow. This is a two-day article we are beginning today. It's an entertainment article you can find on pages 28, 29, and 30 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. Always love to talk about movies and entertainment, and actually what we're talking about are the movies themselves, the format, the form of the movies, the amount of time that movies are taking right now. It sure seems like movies are getting longer and longer. And I want to ask Josh Mooney, does it seem like that to you? Movies are longer today than they were 10 or 15 years ago?
It definitely does, Bill. I think my patience might be running shorter as I get older, but I do think movies are running longer as well.
Yeah, I get that impression too. And I go see a lot of movies, and I remember maybe 10, 20 years ago, movies were more around the 90 to 100 minute range, whereas now it just seems like the benchmark is 120 minutes. It seems like there's a minimum number now for a movie that it's got to be 2 hours long.
For it to feel worthwhile, for it to accomplish all it needs to do? I mean, why do they have to be so long?
Well, you know, I think it kind of ties in with that American culture of, like, supersize me.
Bigger is better.
Big fries. Give me a big Coke. Give me a big burger. And not that the quality is necessarily any better, but it's quantity. And you'll get the illusion that it's more is better. I think that's part of it.
I think so too.
And I think there's something to do with the directors in there too. There's a lot of ego involved, and everybody, all directors, you know, there's some ego in there and they don't want to give anything and they believe their ideas are the best idea ever. And so they're not going to cut anything out. So, all right. Do you go see a lot of movies?
I do. Yeah. I haven't seen a ton since I moved to Asia. But we've got kids, so we see kids' movies, which thankfully are still not usually more than 90 minutes.
Well, they've got to keep the kids' movies short because kids just don't have patience.
Nope.
They just start getting restless, start moving around, making noise, things like that. So now, Ellen Lee is also here. Ellen, do you go see a lot of movies?
I have seen quite a few more movies than I used to.
Why is that?
Well, I used to be in school and working, so I didn't have the time.
Okay.
And now I do, and it seems that the movies take up more time.
All right. Okay, now what do you think? Is that a good or bad thing?
Well, the prices of movie tickets have gone up, so I think that has fed into maybe some of what movie watchers want. They want to get their money's worth, maybe.
Right.
So
right.
Longer movies, I guess, satisfy them a bit more.
Okay, you make a good point. It's a perception, and a lot of the consumers, they want to get their money's worth. And there's some perception that, well, if it's longer, then I'm getting my money's worth.
Exactly.
Out of this. So,
yeah.
All right. So it's a quantity thing. Some long movies can have quality along with quantity. I would say they're the rare exceptions, the quantity and quality mixture.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it's pushing 3 hours doesn't mean it's a better movie if it had been two.
Yeah. And it's really difficult. It's really difficult to make a high-quality movie that is long because you're talking about great acting, great writing, great scenery, things like that. And to try and put that together over a three-hour period is really, really difficult. It's actually a lot easier to make a high-quality movie that is 2 hours or less. You just simply are dealing with less. So we're going to talk about the pros and cons of that. We're going to talk about some of the movies as far as their length and their quality as we go through the next 2 days. So why don't you do this, listeners? Turn to page 28. We will break our reading up into three sections today. Our first reading will be the left column on page 28.
Movies taking their sweet time. In today's fast-paced world, more major films are running longer. You can fly from Los Angeles to Seattle in less time than it takes to watch The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Elite runners can finish a marathon faster than the total time of Django Unchained. Daily life may be swinging toward 2-minute YouTube videos and brutally succinct tweets, but there's still one place where time practically stands still, the multiplex. Extra-long films have proliferated this season, a consequence of directors who wield near unilateral control over their films' running times and digital filmmaking tools that allow for longer and repeated takes.
Okay, the title says movies taking their sweet time. What do we mean, taking their sweet time?
Usually when we say sweet time, we usually mean it's going very slowly or it's not in a rush. Things are not in a rush.
All right, we might say also take your good old time.
Mm-hmm.
Means not rush. Take your sweet time. So, yeah, just don't be in a hurry or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And movies, it says, are doing just that. Underneath the title, it says, in today's fast-paced world, more major films are running longer.
And when we talk about major films, what do we mean, major films?
Those are blockbusters, movies that have big budgets, big stars usually, and that people are very excited to see.
Yeah, there's certain expectations around them, a lot of promotion. Budgets, big directors, big stars. For instance, Lincoln is one of the movies we talk about in here. It was highly anticipated. Steven Spielberg, Daniel Day-Lewis, a lot of money, time, and effort go into it. So there's this expectation in that. Likewise, The Hobbit, right?
Yes. And a lot of those movies, like Ellen said, come with a high price tag to see. Those blockbusters that are 3D, they can charge extra for. Maybe they're on an IMAX screen. I mean, the days of, you know, a $5 or $6 U.S. movie are long gone. Movies are, especially if you add in the food. I mean, how much does food cost at a movie? It's not an inexpensive endeavor anymore.
Well, certainly not if a couple goes out or even if a family goes out, a family of, you know, mother and father, maybe one or two kids. It's not cheap. You know all about that.
I sure do. That's why I only take one of my kids to the movies. No. No, I take them both. I'm
you're
just
so
kidding.
Mean. All right. All right. We have an analogy, I guess, in a way here. That's how we start our article.
Right. It says, you can fly from Los Angeles to Seattle in less time than it takes to watch The Hobbit. The flight from Los Angeles to Seattle is about 2.5 hours.
Yep.
So that's quite a long time.
Yeah. Okay. So you can travel a good distance from L.A. to Seattle in less time to see The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. That is I guess it's a continuation of The Lord of the Rings, right?
It was actually the prequel.
Oh, the prequel.
Right? Yeah,
yes,
went to
it's
the
prequel.
First part of The Hobbit's story. And Lord of the Rings, of course, also extremely long. And those three movies together, I think it would take about a month to watch all three of those movies. But we then moved to a Quentin Tarantino movie this year that was very long, Django Unchained. And you can actually, if you're an elite runner, run a marathon faster than you can watch that movie.
Okay. Marathon runners, elite runners, typically will run a marathon between 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours, 20 minutes. And this movie, you could actually – it would take longer than to run 26 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So those are just some examples of the things you could do in the length of the movies and the time it takes to finish these movies today. And there is almost a paradox in this.
There is, because daily life and the internet sensations that we see are not two-hour movies. They're two-minute videos and brutally succinct tweets, it says there. The fact that we love sharing small bits of information with each other because we're so busy, you would think that that has translated into our movie watching as well. But that's not the case.
Okay, first, I want to ask Alan, brutally succinct. What do we mean by that?
Well, brutally succinct just means very short, very to the point. Mm-hmm. You're not adding anything extra, no extra words.
All right, so we've got this society that has been shifting towards these two-minute YouTube videos, these tweets. It's almost like people, their attention span is about 30 seconds today. And however, we're going in this whole other direction. Right?
That's right. We have short attention span when it comes to the internet and social media, but it says time practically stands still at the multiplex. And that when time stands still, it means that it feels like the clock isn't moving.
Okay. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be there at the multiplex forever. All right. And part of the reason you're going to be there at the multiplex forever is because why?
Well, extra-long films have proliferated this season. Proliferating means it's grown in a large number. And when we talk about a season, that's how we talk about entertainment. TV shows and movies are released over the course of a year, and we say, the blockbuster season runs from Memorial Day to back to school. And, of course, the holiday movie season is usually where the Oscar winners are released.
Okay. And actually, that's pretty much about the time when this article was written. It was written right around the holiday time, right there at the end of 2012, leading into 2013. And the big movies want to come out right before the Academy Awards, which are going to be held, I believe it's in February or March, in February maybe. So that is the time when the big hits are going to come out during that season. And so another reason for these extra long films is they are a consequence of what?
They're a consequence of directors who wield near unilateral control over their films. And wield just means that they have the control in their hands. They have the authority to do something. And unilateral just means they have the freedom to do it.
Okay. Unilateral would mean they're the only ones making the decision on this, right?
Mm-hmm. I think of a CEO, and perhaps he doesn't have to answer to a board, makes all the decisions, and controls the company unilaterally.
Okay, uni being the prefix for one, and would be bilateral if two people or two parties were involved, bilateral negotiations like between a country, and as far as maybe multilateral would involve many people in a decision or an agreement. But a lot of these directors, they want to be king.
Yes.
They want to be king. Just like James Cameron said, I'm king of the world. And the directors believe they are king, right?
And Spielberg usually is king of his domain, right? Mm-hmm. And he had his say in terms of how long Lincoln was, and Tarantino's been very successful, and Django Unchained was as long as he wanted it to be.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a great example of some directors controlling the film running times, and also not only the directors are part of this, but there's some technology expanding the length of films.
Yeah. As we've moved into the digital age, digital filmmaking tools have also allowed for longer and repeated takes.
Okay. So you've got the digital tools. We're going to talk a little bit more about the impact of digital equipment in this, but it has actually changed the way many of these people make films.
That's right. Multiple takes, it says, repeated takes. And a take is just a scene or a very small part of a movie. And the director may say action and let the scene play out and then say cut and then shoot it again and shoot it again and shoot it again because he has as much digital film as he needs to get the scene just how he wants it.
Right. They're looking for perfection, right? They want perfection in each take. And it could be maddening, a director wanting to make as many cuts as possible. However, I was thinking about this, and I can understand that because the final product, will live on for almost 100 years. And so you want to make sure it's right. So you want to make sure you do something right. You don't mm-hmm. want so-so quality.
Just there. Like the advanced radio program.
That's right. We want to make sure we get it right, so because people are going to listen to this 100 years from now. But listeners, you are here today, and that's the most important thing. And what's important is next, our next reading.
Movies don't feel time-consuming. Some movie theater owners say the current crop of long-winded movies are costing them at the box office, as films approaching 3 hours in length can be shown only once an evening. Exhibitors and more than a few movie critics have bemoaned this spate of prolonged productions. Yet some members of the most important constituency in the film business say the long films don't really feel that time-consuming. It never lagged, said 12-year-old Jesse Serrato, who joined his family for the 169-minute Hobbit movie last week in downtown Los Angeles and clearly has more fortitude than many adults.
Okay, our next section begins by saying movies don't feel time-consuming. Well, we're going to get a couple of different perspectives in this section. And actually, first we go to movie theater owners.
Yeah, movie theater owners say that the current crop of long-winded movies are costing them money at the box office.
Okay, well, this is a very important party in all of this, the movie theater owners. We've been talking about directors, and we're going to talk about consumers, but these are the theater owners. Now, long-winded.
Long-winded just means something keeps going on and on and on. It just never ends.
We might use that for, like, listening to somebody talk, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Sometimes we'll say, oh, the speaker was long-winded. He didn't get to his point.
The United Nations often has long-winded speeches. Guys get up for 2 or 3 hours and talk. So that's what good use of long-winded. Now, Josh, as films are approaching 3 hours in length.
Well, we go to the economics of movies. Of course, movies are mostly watched in the evening. People are off work. They bring their families. Maybe they're on a date. So that 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock movie times are when movie theater owners make their money. And if a movie is 3+ hours long, it can only be shown once that night.
Yeah, so that is why this is a problem for these movie theater owners. Yeah, so it's restricting the number of shows as far as showings. And this is huge. We're going to find out a little bit later in the article exactly the money that this equation is. So the longer the movies, they can't show them as frequently. Now, we move into the next paragraph, exhibitors and more than a few movie critics. What are they doing?
They're bemoaning the spate of prolonged productions. So they are complaining about this sudden increase of such long movies.
Okay. Now, we would use exhibitors just to also as another term for movie theater owners, the people showing the film, and they bemoan this spate of prolonged productions. Yet
some members of their most important constituency in the business say that long films don't feel that time-consuming. And we're going to meet one in a second, but let's break that sentence down. The constituency is a group of people, a group of something within. Oftentimes when we talk about politics, maybe your voters in an area are mm-hmm. your constituency. And the noun there, constituent, is an individual within that group that you mm-hmm. report to.
Okay. We also synonyms might be like a segment or even a demographic. And there are different demographics and segments within the movie watching group audiences. Mm-hmm. And we're going to meet one here in the next paragraph.
Yes, we meet 12-year-old Jesse Serrato, who watched the movie The Hobbit with his family. And mm-hmm. he says it never lagged. Which just means he didn't think it felt slow or that it was long-winded.
Okay. All right. He thought this thing was exciting, and he was there with his family for the 169-minute, nearly 3 hours, Hobbit movie last week in downtown L.A.
That's right. And when you say a movie is 169 minutes, remember, that doesn't include the trailers. So you are sitting in a theater. If you arrive maybe 10 minutes before the trailers or previews start, that can add another 30 minutes to the experience, right? So you're looking at 3.5, maybe sometimes even 4 hours of sitting in your seat watching movies.
Previews. My experience with previews recently has been minimum 10 minutes.
At least
10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It's at least. And so that's just sitting for the previews, let alone getting there beforehand. So I'm looking at 10 minutes of previews, and they have got the volume turned up so loud
right.
on those previews. My brain is like turning into liquid when they play those previews. Why do they do that?
Make sure you're awake. I don't know.
You know, so like they show these previews, and of course they look so exciting.
Yes.
And maybe that's so loud that make me think that, oh, this movie's going to be great.
Are you a fan of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, Alan?
I am a fan of them. I think they were well done. But as we are mentioning in today's article, they were a little on the longer side for me.
I have a friend whose wife, Christy, is a huge fan of the whole series, the trilogy, and then the prequel, The Hobbit. And Los Angeles, when The Hobbit came out, did a special showing. At one time, they showed all three Lord of the Rings movies, back to back to back, and then The Hobbit for one price. And the theater was packed. It sold out. And she and some of her friends, I couldn't believe she found someone to go with her, but she and all these huge Lord of the Rings fans sat in a theater for close to 14 hours.
Wow. That is dedication.
Yeah. They had gone back to Middle Earth. So I bet half of them were dressed up in costumes.
Yeah.
It's a bit more than I could probably handle. All right. Well, I know everybody, though, can handle our next reading.
Longer shows, more revenue. The year's movies include not only typically longer prestige titles such as Lincoln, 149 minutes, Les Miserables, 158, and Zero Dark Thirty, 157, but also a comic book movie, The Dark Knight Rises, 164, a James Bond sequel, Skyfall, 143, and a comedy, This Is 40, 134. The running times haven't hurt some of these long movies at the box office. Skyfall has garnered domestic ticket sales of $272.6 million, Dark Knight Rises took in $448.1 million, and Lincoln has grossed $108.5 million. But those outsized revenues have largely come from megaplexes, where theater owners can utilize more screens for a hit film. The operators of smaller complexes say they don't have that latitude and are consequently suffering.
Okay, longer shows, more revenue. So this is a big part of it. The theater owners are not real happy with the long movies because it reduces the number of showings that they can have in their theaters, which reduces their revenue. And in this section, we talk about some of the lengths of some of these movies this year.
That's right. It says the year's movies include not only typical longer movies like we call them prestige titles, Lincoln, Les Mis, Zero Dark Thirty, that had very ambitious storylines. I mean, it was a big story to tell, so the directors and screenwriters needed a lot of time, but also a comic book movie, a James Bond sequel, and even a comedy ran well over the two-hour mark.
Okay, so we've been talking about, we expect the epic films to go long, and certainly Lincoln and Les Mis would fall into the, quote, epic films because it's a big story. But we normally wouldn't think of maybe action movie or a comedy.
Oh, definitely not a comedy. Yeah, usually a movie like This Is 40, which was Judd Apatow, who we see a picture of him on the next page, telling a pretty simple story about a couple and what their life looks like with kids and that, you know, things aren't as fun anymore. That movie went well over 2 hours. And the joke around Hollywood was the movie should be called This Is 40 Minutes Too Long.
I've been at some of those movies that have been 30 minutes or 40 minutes too long. Good point. All right. What's the impact of these running times on some of the films?
Well, according to some, this hasn't actually hurt the box office or the amount of money that has come in.
Okay. All right. We talk about James Bond, that movie there in the next sentence.
Right. It says Skyfall, which was the latest James Bond movie, garnered domestic ticket sales of $272.6 million. And Dark Knight Rises, which was the Batman sequel, took in $448.1 million. And Lincoln, one of the epic movies that we were talking about, took in $108.5 million.
Well, I tell you what, that Dark Knight Rises is a remarkable number for and when we talk about domestic ticket sales, we're talking about ticket sales just in the United States. I didn't have a chance to look at their global sales. I think Dark Knight Rises was somewhere $700 or $800 million.
And Skyfall was spectacular. That was by far the highest grossing Bond movie of all time.
Yeah. So obviously the length of these movies is not hurting their sales, their ticket sales. Lincoln, I don't know if it was going to matter, the length of Lincoln. You had to be really a fan of history if you were going to go see it or not. I would say if you are not interested in Lincoln, you might be a little bit bored with it because it relies mostly on dialogue. It is not an action movie, and you probably would need to be a history fan to really get into Lincoln. So that's why the sales are where they at with Lincoln. Still a success at $108 million in sales. But...
Well, those outsized revenues have largely come from megaplexes, a word we used earlier in the lesson. It just refers to one of those theaters that seems to have an endless amount of auditoriums playing every movie imaginable at every time imaginable.
Yeah, maybe 16, 18, 20 screens available for playing hit films on multiple screens. And then... we find out why, though, this is a problem, the longer movies, for the operators of smaller complexes.
Well, operators of smaller complexes don't have as many screens, so they don't have the same latitude, as it says in the reading, and consequently suffer from these long movies.
They don't have the same latitude. They don't have the same freedom of movement, so they may only have two or three screens as far as being able to show them. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot more to talk about. Listeners, thanks for joining us here today. Come on back tomorrow for Movies Taking Their Sweet Time. We'll see you then.